We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for January 6, 2010. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, Taiwan lawmakers have voted to ban imports of certain cuts of U.S. beef on fears of mad cow disease. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason reports on a new University of Illinois web tool to estimate 2009 acre payments. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from the Westchester Group, specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is available online at westchester-auctions.com.
Wednesday afternoon, futures settled like this. In Kansas City, March wheat, 560 and a half, up 13 and three quarters. May, 572 and a half, up 14 and a quarter. July, 583 and three quarters, up 13 and a half. CME Group, March wheat, 567 and a quarter, up 14 and a quarter. May, 579 and three quarters, up 14 and a quarter. July, 589 and a half, up 14. March corn, 421 and three quarters, up 3. May, 432, up 3. July, 440 and three quarters, up 3 and a quarter. September, 444 and three quarters, up 3. December, 448 and three quarters, up 3 and one half. February crude, 83.18, up $1.41. January beans, 10.50 and a half, down 1 3/4. March, 10.59, down 2. May, 10.63, down 1 3/4. July, 10.66 and 3/4, down 1 3/4. August, 10.61, down 1 1/2. January soybean meal, 3.17.90, down 1.50. January soybean oil, 40.67, down 4. February live cattle, 85.95, down 37 and a half. January feeders, 96.30, down 25. February lean hogs, 66.57 and a half, down 102 and one half. And those are today's settlements in Chicago and in Kansas City.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser has a lot of severe weather to pass along. He says a winter storm warning is in effect for northwestern Illinois from this evening through tomorrow evening, for west central Illinois from 12 noon today until tomorrow evening, and the metro east of St. Louis from this evening until tomorrow evening. Meanwhile, a winter weather advisory is in effect for a portion of southwestern Illinois from this evening through tomorrow evening, and a winter storm watch is in effect for north central and northeastern Illinois and central and east central and portions of southeastern Illinois and for far northwestern Indiana from this evening until early Friday morning, southern Illinois and far southwestern Indiana from midnight tonight until tomorrow evening, Porter County, Indiana from this evening until Friday evening, north central northeastern and across all of central Indiana from early tomorrow morning until early Friday morning, south central Indiana from late tonight through tomorrow afternoon, and far southeastern Indiana from early tomorrow morning through tomorrow evening.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. It's 21 degrees here on this cool, crisp January afternoon.
And when the snow is on the way, too. So let's look at the marketplace and begin with the wheat. What has gotten into that?
Well, Informa came in with bigger production estimates for Argentine wheat and Morocco wheat, and the growing conditions around the world seemed to be good to excellent. Commodity funds were very aggressive buyers, even with slightly bearish fundamentals. The wheat market had an influence on the corn. My assumption is that the funds were also supportive to corn. The soybeans just kind of fell on their own weight with announcements of Chinese limiting imports and liquidating some inventory and a big crop in South America coming on stream. It has been known, with this cold weather, we did see quite a bit of excitement in the crude oil market. We did see a lot of excitement in the metals market. And that was also, and orange juice, with the weather. But the wheat market basically was fun buying, and no fundamental news that we saw of supporting the market.
Soybean, was there spreading going on there?
Well, I'm sure there was long liquidation out of long, old, short, new, and that showed up as well. As far as anything other than, maybe buying wheat, selling soybeans or something like that, I'm not aware of it. But definitely the soybean market is faced with a big crop in South America, and Chinese are basically trying to limit imports of soybeans into the country and then also possibly sell up to 1 million tons of soybeans out of inventory. If that isn't management control, and when they're basically looking at a big South American crop down the road, it sends a real signal that they don't want to get into the management price debacle that they saw several years ago. And there are definitely some reports that maybe they have enough beans afloat to take care of them as well.
Meanwhile, corn continues to knock on the door of 424 and a half, a familiar number. If you've been following the charts, saw that in October, saw it again in November. Are we going to bust through that door anytime soon?
Yeah, good question. The energy markets were a stellar support. In the Midwest, with all these farm meetings and everything, we don't hear two things. We don't hear any real strong role with farm groups on encouraging more ethanol use. We don't hear anything to even talk about cap and trade, but we do hear about a very weak economy. We do know that there is a ton of corn that was put to bed very wet, and when we look at the volume of corn that's coming over the scales, it's about half dried and half super wet. And there's still tons of corn out on the ground out there, and we are picking up that farmers are picking corn in these cold temperatures and moving at the market. So we're having another 35 to 45 days of basically bring it to market as quickly as humanly possible. The question is, do we have enough commodity fund strength to bully the market higher? And I'm going to say that, the commodity funds are going to have to work just as hard as anybody else, probably with shorter trades and trading the market instead of buying something and seeing something go up 50 cents to a dollar. These people have management tools, too, and if they don't make money at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure that people draw money out of their funds. So I think we're going to see, you know, more management in those funds as well.
And I would think that if we get to, 435, 440, you're going to see another round of aggressive farmer selling.
I would agree. And the reason is that, you know, we are looking at more acreage here in the U.S. Going into crops. And with a cheaper soybean, a logical idea is to move some corn into the marketplace. The other factor I want to mention, too, is that historically there was probably less corn stored, but it was more of a traditional harvest movement at harvest time instead of just store everything that we saw the last 2 years.
What else are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I think the the one thing that I wanted to – two things – quick here, of course, number one, the energy market. A lot of the people think $82 is high enough for the near term, but it went through that. But I think we are looking at a kinder weather forecast 10 days down the road, at least from my top meteorologist. And, of course, it'd be interesting to see what happens when the temperatures thaw out here in the Midwest.
And if you're keeping charts on that, on my continuation chart, I got a 200-week moving average. It comes in right at 75.91 is probably a pretty solid line of support. So there's that energy thing to keep an eye on. What do you make of the dollar?
I think that the dollar is basically in a very narrow trading range. And once again, I think that the marketplace is very contented with the dollar right now. And the one market that I think that does have some interest to me, of course, is the stock market. And my general impression is the stock market is fairly strong in here. But at the same time, I think you're going to see just a gradual price improvement instead of anything very major. The real factor here is that we have a lot of unemployment, and we're seeing a major problems as far as getting the economy going again.
Anything else before we let you go today?
Have a profitable day, Dave.
Thank you very much, Paul. That's Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He is in Oakland, Illinois, and he joins us every Wednesday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, Taiwanese lawmakers voted yesterday to ban imports of some kinds of U.S. beef over concerns about mad cow disease, reversing an earlier deal the government had negotiated with Washington. The legislature's move to reinstate a ban on U.S. ground beef reflects public concern that Taiwanese health officials lack sufficient safeguards to prevent BSE. Taiwan purchased $128 million in beef products from the U.S. in 2008. The American Institute in Taiwan, the de facto U.S. embassy on the island, slammed the move, saying it undermines Taiwan's credibility as a responsible trading partner. Russian officials are scheduled to arrive in the U.S. for talks later this month over Russia's decision to implement an import restriction on January 1st that halted the country's imports of U.S. chicken. The restriction bans all chicken treated with a chlorinated water rinse during processing. Chlorine treatment is used to kill pathogens on chicken, and U.S. government and industry officials insist the practice is safe and helps protect consumers from foodborne illnesses. But the procedure is not an approved practice in Russia. The chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee says agriculture policy should focus on job creation in 2010. Blanche Lincoln says her committee will work on green energy with the goal to, quote, create jobs and put our economy back on the right track. We're going to look towards focusing on creating jobs in rural communities. Lincoln says she plans to work with Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack to see what more can be done with USDA's rural development to expand job opportunities in areas such as energy and rural broadband. CME Group is surveying Chicago Board of Trade grain and soy futures traders on whether they want new settlement procedures, including electronic settlement for corn and soybeans. Notices to traders were sent out yesterday directing them to an online survey. The survey period will last until January 29th, and CME will then make a decision on whether to move to electronic settlements within a few weeks. The survey comes after CME suspended plans to alter the settlements in November, following an outcry from traders who said they did not have enough feedback. Pilgrim's Pride is cutting 230 corporate and administrative jobs just a week after it emerged from bankruptcy protection. It said the cuts are part of its efforts to consolidate operations with its new owner at JBS USA headquarters in Greeley, Colorado. The company said in a news release that 160 job cuts will be at its headquarters or in nearby Mount Pleasant, Texas. Others are in a dozen other places, including Atlanta and Dallas. Retail fertilizer prices continue to show a distinct split in trends for the last week of 2009, with prices of the same six major fertilizers climbing, while prices of the other two fertilizers continue to sink. Leading the way higher was DAP, which was up 16% compared to a month earlier. Next was anhydrous, which increased 9%. The two fertilizers with price decreases continued to be 1034-0 and potash. 1034-0 was down 12%, and potash was 9% lower during the December time period. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. A new Microsoft Excel spreadsheet has been developed at the University of Illinois to estimate the amount of average crop revenue election or acre payments a farm will receive for the 2009 crop. Todd Gleason has more.
The acre payment estimator spreadsheet is available for download from the Fast Tools section of the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. It's an Excel spreadsheet. Users of the acre payment estimator will enter their state and crop for which acre payment estimates are desired, and then the program will estimate the state acre payment. This estimate equals the state guarantee minus state revenue. The state guarantee is known for 2009 and equals the benchmark yield times a benchmark price. The acre payment estimator includes guarantees for corn, soybeans, and wheat for most states in the U.S. State revenue equals the state yield times the market year average price, or MYA. At this point, neither the state yield nor the MYA price is known with certainty. Still, University of Illinois Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnitke says the acre payment estimator can make some projections.
And those acre payments will again be occurring next October in 2010 for the 2009 cropping year. Right now, the database or the prices and yields in the database would suggest that corn will not make a payment. But the price where that needs to happen where corn will make a payment is very close to where it's at. So we're right on the cusp of getting an acre payment for corn. Soybeans not, but wheat sizable acre payments. And our estimates would put those right now above $60 an acre.
Through time, of course, estimates of state yields and MYA prices will be updated as new information becomes available. Users of the acre payment estimator can update their estimates by clicking on the Update Database. That's a button located at the top of the screen of the acre payment estimator, says Schnittke.
All you have to do is hook up to the internet, and there's a button in the program that says Update Database, and that will bring in the most recent estimates from our FarmDoc spreadsheet.
Clicking on the button will pull data from the FarmDoc website and put it into the acre payment estimator. The date the data was updated on FarmDoc will be indicated in the State and Crop Choice box. Users can adjust state acre payments to their farm situation by entering their farm yields. The acre payment estimator can be downloaded from the FarmDoc website at www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. Look in the Fast Tools section, listed on the left-hand side of the page. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, if the cold weather has been enough, not of an incentive, rather, to move grain, I imagine you add some white stuff to the mix over the next few days, and you might as well just go home.
Yeah, I really think that what the snow is supposed to get out here early tomorrow morning, I'd say tomorrow and Friday are going to be very, very light days here at Climbers, and probably most elevators in your listening area here, as you know, it sounds like we can bank on 3+ inches of the white stuff on the ground.
You know, we're looking at some carry numbers. I think there's about a dime to February, another nickel for March. The producers doing anything about this?
No, that's a good point, Dave. You know, we're showing a very good carry here, almost too much carry, but I say almost too much because it's a lot of money here, but you guys aren't taking advantage of it. My bid from now, if you can wait 3 weeks to February 1st, nets you a 15 cents. So it's a dime from last half January. So actually 15 cents now to February, and then another nickel to March. And guys just aren't interested in that. They want to move corn for. I think some guys want to move it for cash needs, but more importantly, I think they're more concerned about quality and getting the stuff moved and kind of seeing what they have. Some producers, these are the first bushels they've moved since harvest, and most elevators and processors alike were not testing for VOM until the tail end of harvest. So a lot of guys have questions of what they really have in the bin.
Do producers need to be worried? I mean, are you having to do a lot of testing? Are you seeing a lot of poor quality corn, or are their fears misguided and they should take advantage of this 20 cents?
You know, I guess what we've seen here is, our policy is with most of our competition in the area is that every load is tested for VOM. What we've seen here at Climbers is that the levels have really plateaued here in the last 2 or 3 weeks. So if guys have corn and it's keeping relatively good, it looks like the weather's not going to warm up, where we have some days getting the 50s or anything where you have to worry about bins heating up. And, if you have low VOM, I think that it does, the market is incenting you at least to keep it till February and maybe on out till March.
What about your prices?
Yeah, today, Climbers finished today at $4 for cash corn, and then Delphi beans at $10.39.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Blaisdell, the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. I'll be back in 2 minutes with a look at the agricultural weather, including the big storm that's coming our way across the Corn Belt.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The head of a union of civil service workers at the University of Illinois, not impacted by the federal policy now in effect, says any such action needs to be done with some common sense behind it. AFSCME Local 3700 President Dorinda Miller says temporary layoffs are being looked at as possibilities for her membership, but there's currently no language in their contract allowing furloughs. But Miller says she also doesn't think the university will save a lot of money by implementing layoffs, and she suggests the state may not be in as financial dire straits that administrators are claiming, citing Governor Pat Quinn's comments that some state appropriations could be coming through next month. Meanwhile, a lawsuit by Illinois government's biggest union challenging Governor Quinn's plans to layoffs of 2,600 state workers is on hold as both sides try to negotiate a resolution. A hearing on the lawsuit by AFSCME Council 31 was to have taken place today before the Mount Vernon faced 5th District Appellate Court. Last September, a Southern Illinois judge sided with AFSCME in temporarily blocking the layoffs. The court ruled the union sufficiently proved employees would be irreparably harmed if the job cuts went forward without efforts to resolve the dispute. Court papers filed last week suggested a settlement might come by the end of this month. Quinn's administration has said the layoffs could save the cash-strapped state $125 million. A man convicted of conspiring to commit murder was among the 1,700 inmates in a secret early release program from Illinois prisons. Chicago's Sun-Times reports that 36-year-old Michael Rodriguez was one of 31 Latin King gang members charged in 2007 in connection with 22 killings in the Aurora area. The Sun-Times reports 20 others with a history of murder or attempted murder were also included in the early release program called MGT Push. Under the program, the Corrections Department stopped requiring inmates to serve at least 61 days and immediately began rewarding time off for good behavior. Some violent inmates spent as little as 3 weeks behind bars. Governor Pat Quinn stopped the program last week after the Associated Press revealed it in December. And in sports, for former Chicago Cub Andre Dawson has been elected to baseball's Hall of Fame, while Burt Blyleven and Roberto Alomar fell just short of earning baseball's highest honor. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
The white stuff is on its way in the eastern Corn Belt. I would imagine transportation is going to be something of a mess.
It is. It is. This is going to be a fairly big event just simply because of the area that's going to be involved with the snow all at once. So it's not only going to be a surface travel problem, but even if you're going to airports and flying across the country, you're probably going to have to deal with some delay here over the next 2 days. The snow event is getting underway here this afternoon, pushing deeper into the western Corn Belt. It is going to reach into as far east as the Mississippi River by this evening, and it will be pretty significant as far as the snowfall rates in Iowa and parts of northwestern Missouri, maybe even northeastern Kansas, and back up into a small part of Nebraska and the eastern Dakotas. All that will occur over this first 12 hours. And then as we go overnight tonight and into the day tomorrow, snow will be widespread across the heart of the Midwest and eventually work its way into those eastern areas as well. And we are going to see some snow reach all the way down into the northern parts of the U.S. Delta as well as the Tennessee River Basin. And we might even see a few flakes of snow all the way down into central or southern Georgia before we're over with this probably on Thursday afternoon or early Friday morning. The snow accumulations will probably run anywhere from 1 to 5 inches across the region. It looks like the heaviest snows will probably come out of Iowa and Missouri and go across the heart of Illinois and into Indiana. So that'll probably be where we'll see some of those 5-inch amounts. And it wouldn't surprise me to see something a little bit greater, and we will have a considerable amount of wind picking up as we go into Thursday afternoon and Friday, and that's going to cause some blowing and drifting. So it is going to be kind of a mess for a while. And then, of course, we have to deal with all the bitter cold that comes in behind that, with sub-zero temperatures likely to occur all the way down into Oklahoma, Arkansas, probably the Missouri Boot Heel, if not northeastern Arkansas, with extreme lows, perhaps in the minus 30 to minus 20 degree range in the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, and western or northwestern parts of Iowa. It is going to be a nasty event.
And talk about your contrast down to South America, where the weather is anything but what we've been talking about for the last couple of minutes, although we're hearing in Brazil that it's becoming too wet and that Asian soybean rust is becoming more of a problem.
Yes, that is the case. Now, we do have widespread saturated soil conditions in the majority of Brazil. The only place where that's not the case is in the extreme south and also in the northeast part of the soybean production region. As we go forward through this coming week, the wettest conditions will become concentrated on Rio Grande do Sul and southernmost portions of the country in general. We will see drier weather kick into some of the northeastern portions of the region. That'll be good, but as you've already mentioned, the rust is already on the increase, and the change that we're talking about is pretty subtle. There's so much moisture on the ground, it's floating around in the air, that even with less rainfall, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. So that is going to be continued as something to watch as we go through the rest of the growing season there. We do expect the wet weather to continue, though, through the, at least the next couple of weeks before we actually see some kind of a change. Potentially, that change may bring some drier weather to the south.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey.